Out of the black of the deep range and into the light of the deep strange, cometh the hour, cometh the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. Good evening to you. John B. Wells in the left seat tonight for a program I believe you will find slightly disturbing. That was fun with Gerald Clark last weekend, wasn't it? The Anunnaki and all that stuff. Very interesting indeed. Well, before I tell you who's on tonight, bringing forth some more awakening. Yes, more revelations. Like I like to say these days, the awakening has begun. It's well underway. How do you like it? Old Solomon. He was right, wasn't he? He who multiplieth wisdom multiplieth pain. So this is an informational sandwich. I know, I've been on this Fukushima thing for a long time, since I think the day after it happened. And so many people are going, oh, well, it's in Fukushima. I can't bear the sound of it anymore. It's like, well, I wish he'd stop. Can't. We're going to do another Fukushima forum next weekend. I'll tell you why. It's just too weird. It's so weird, and it's so stupid. Now get this. This is from King 5 TV out of Seattle. Warning. There's a video of the melting sea stars. Might be disturbing. The video, that is. Scientists are so concerned about rapidly spreading die-off on West Coast. Double in just a few days. Jellyfish numbers booming. That's from ENE News. Here's another one. Fukushima is the most terrifying situation I can imagine, says a top scientist. I've seen a paper which says it's bye-bye Japan and to evacuate North America's West Coast if Unit 4 goes after quake and rods are exposed. Now, just to give you an idea, I was fooling around with the calculator a while ago. Now, get this. They estimate between 400 and 600 tons of highly radioactive water is being pumped or otherwise leaking, I suppose we'll never know if it's leaking or if it's being pumped, per day. So I thought, okay, split the difference. Well, that sounds like 121,212.121 gallons per day at 500 tons. So that's 848,484.848 in 7 days. Now, if you go times 52 weeks, that's 44,121,212.096, right? 44,121,212. And just to give you a little idea, a little scale here, there's 660,000 gallons in an Olympic swimming pool. It's 2 meters deep, 25 meters wide, and 50 meters long. Say, how about that fiasco at LAX? Isn't it odd? Don't you find things are just odd? You know, the guy's name is spelled C-I-A-N-C-I-A. C-I-A-N-C-I-A, get it? And there were reports that he was actually a TSA employee, but then those reports have been supplanted with other reports that say, no, that's not it. He was not it. He was just nuts. Wanted to take it out of the New World Order, man. New World Order. I don't think that's the way to do it. By the way, Mr. C-I-A-N-C-I-A. Oh, well, for the first hour tonight, we're going to take some of your telephone calls, and then we'll go to tonight's guest. This is the creamy center of the informational cookie. We're going to have Robert Plumley on. Who's Robert Plumley? He's also known as Tosh. He's a retired commercial pilot, worked for and with the United States government for many years. He was enlisted and assigned to military specialized operations at Fort Bliss, Texas in April of 54. But he was in there for a long time. From 62 through 63, he was assigned to Task Force W Section during the Cuban Project, which operated at the time from, I don't know what, JM/Wave Station attached to Miami, Florida's Cuba desk of the CIA, I guess that's what it is. If you can decipher that, you're doing better than I am. He operated as a contract undercover pilot And also at times, he was assigned to the specialized Cuban operation of the CIA's Covert Action Group, or CAG. He was engaged in many secret operations throughout the early 60s. Some years later, after brief retirement, he was reactivated and became attached as an undercover operative and contract pilot for the CIA during President Reagan's drug war. Attached to a secret team known as America-Mexico Special Operations Group, AMSOG, headquartered Panama Southern Command. He was also a pilot and associated with the Contra Resupply Network. But believe me, you ain't heard nothing yet. He was a covert contract military intel pilot on civilian status for various classified secret operations. And has he got an earful for you? Now, just kind of shifting around here. Part of this, Robert Plumlee, this will kind of put it all into focus. You want me to say this on camera? All right. Those entities were cutouts financed and operated by the CIA. Our operations were sanctioned by the federal government, controlled out of the Pentagon. The CIA acted in some cases as our logistical support team. In the past, the CIA has insisted it was not involved in supplying or helping the Contras. However, three men say it was an American pilot who worked for the CIA, as well as the Contras and drug cartels, who flew a big-time drug lord, a guy named Quintero, to freedom from Guadalajara. You have the CIA employees, which are your badge, carrying CIA personnel, and then you have all these subcontract employees that work with these intelligence agencies. Some of them are pilots, some of them run boats, but they're contract employees. Now, the pilot that flew Caro Quintero to Costa Rica was a contract employee. That's absolutely right, according to Robert Plumlee. So we're going to get into all of this because, you know, it's that Alice in Wonderland thing. It's just nothing is but what is not. And so, into the rabbit hole we go. Now, you've heard recently about Russia and China, again, buddy-buddy. Buddy-buddy, doing deals, and going to make a lot of money. Well, get this. This comes from Full Spectrum Dominance. Russia finds Chinese home appliances designed for cyber espionage. Yes, according to Russian news agency Rosbalt, R-O-S-B-A-L-T, Rosbalt, the spy chips are implanted in irons, electric kettles, phones, and car dashboard cameras, which isn't surprising considering that Russians are big fans of dashboard cameras. Some of them are capable of stealing data from computers within a 200-meter radius via unsecure Wi-Fi networks. The rogue iPhones can connect to networks within a 50 to 70-meter range. The devices steal information and upload it to remote servers. After the rogue devices were discovered, several shipments from China were rejected. However, some items have already been distributed to retailers. Russian authorities found the spy chips after noticing that the net and gross weight of the goods did not match. Now, this is ridiculous. It's an article from by Paul Joseph Watson from the 30th of October. You might have heard this already, but this is ridiculous. A prank set up by a comedian and a film crew in which shoppers were told they would have to undergo a full body scan in order to enter a candy store shockingly illustrates how a majority of Americans will willingly submit to draconian invasions of their privacy with barely a thought for the consequences. The prank, which took place in San Luis Obispo, California, utilized a real mobile body scanner as well as a model who acted as a plant by being scanned repeatedly. A man with a hand wand played the authority figure who assured shoppers that the body scan was necessary for their security and to detect weapons. While the video shows numerous passers-by objecting to the idea of body scanning to enter a candy store, the makers of the short film made it clear that the majority of people stood in line and were perfectly happy to be scanned. Yeah, you don't want to, we've heard of weaponized pizza rolls, but we sure don't want a weaponized candy cane. That's just not good. Just not good. Well, let's seg over here just a minute. Yeah. From mining.com, archaeologists conducting excavations at an ancient tomb in Luoyang, Henan Province, China, this last Monday found a gold coin from the East Roman era estimated to be over 1,500 years old. The Western coins have been discovered at ancient tombs in China. The one unearthed the other day preserved its original shape to the point that when found, reportedly glittered, just like a brand new coin. Very interesting, don't you think? Okay. Iran is still committed to death to America. How many times has that phrase been uttered? Anyway. And the riot police have been deployed to combat thousands of French anti-tax protesters. While in the meantime, food banks brace for a run on groceries in our country. They're run low on supplies. And this is kind of fun. Back in 1983, there was this Operation Able Art conducted in November 83 by the U.S. and its NATO allies, and it was so realistic it made the Russians believe that it was a real nuclear strike on its territory. Fixing to happen. When intelligence filtered back to the Tory government on the Russians' reaction to the exercise, Margaret Thatcher ordered her officials to lobby the Americans to make sure such a mistake could never happen again. Anti-nuclear proliferation campaigners have credited the move with changing how the UK and the US thought about their relationship with the Soviet Union and beginning a thaw in relations between the East and the West. All right, got to bail for a break. We got some good tunes, a lot of good talk with you for the first hour here, and altogether, I think a pretty good time. So here it comes. This is the Saturday night edition of Coast to Coast AM. Please stand by. I think this is kind of funny. Former President Al Gore went on to Ellen DeGeneres' TV show the other day. And somebody sent me an email, said Al Gore admits there's a chemtrail project in progress. It's happening right now. So Al gets on there and he says that, it's just ridiculous because they're spraying another chemical up into the atmosphere, you know, and he called it sulfur dioxide. It's like, no, Al. Sulfur dioxide is what the catalytic converters put out from the last idiotic government mandate that was handed down to us and visited upon us. Oh, it just won't stop. All right, looky here. Let's talk to Matt. Let's go immediately to a call to our first time caller line out of Seattle. That's Matt. What's up, Matt?
Hey, John. I have a pretty straightforward question, and I know it's extreme. But sometimes extreme circumstances require extreme solutions.
I couldn't agree more. Hit me.
Fukushima is going to melt down and burn and be a disaster for the next 500 years. Why can't the governments of the world say, look, let's get together and authorize a detonation of a nuclear bomb directly above the plant and vaporize everything underneath it and just vaporize it into nothingness? There's going to be no more leakage into the ocean. There's going to be no more, people aren't going to be getting sick anymore. Just vaporize it into nothingness and stop it.
Well, I mean, we already did that twice. I'm not sure they'd go for it a third time. I mean, that's the short answer. I understand their government's going to dump 1 trillion yen. They're going to throw money at it. You know, that's the solution to everything. Hey, there's a problem. Quick, throw money at it. How much do you think it'll take for Fukushima? A trillion yen ought to get us started. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I've heard a so-called expert say that, you know, if it'll just continue to burn through the earth until it reaches the earth's core, everything will be fine. To which, you know, your response has got to be, what? But, I mean, that's where they are. They really are. For the first time, officials admit to a shortage of workers at Fukushima. TEPCO promises additional efforts to get more. And the BBC reveals homeless people are cleaning reactors and modern slavery in Japan nuclear industry. And that was 14 years ago. It's beyond anything that you can possibly imagine, the absolute stupidity with which this is being handled. And, you know, I don't think that your idea is really that crazy, given the overall craziness of everything else. You have anything to add, or is it gone already?
Well, about 500 years from now, they're still going to be dumping toxic waste into the ocean. And the only way to end it today, right this second, is to vaporize it into nothingness.
Well, I don't know that... I don't think I can sign on to that one. That's just
the toxic water, the contamination. a nuclear bomb burns hotter than the sun. If they do that, there is no Fukushima plant and there is no toxic waste. It's vaporized into nothingness. And the otherwise, 500 years from now, we're still going to be having that stuff leaking into the ocean. Yeah. It'll never go away.
No, it's not going to go away. It's not. And see, the problem now is that it would have been one thing if it could have been, and I'm not a nuclear engineer, nor am I a nuclear cleanup authority. But, you know, typically what they do is encase this stuff in concrete. The problem is that whole area is racked with fissures in the earth. And this thing went China syndrome a long time ago. If the truth, now I'm looking at my crystal ball, which I have just a momentary bit of clarity on it before I have to send it back to the shop. But China syndrome has already been reached. It's already in the groundwater. That is my opinion. And once that happens, causing another explosion of the magnitude of some sort of nuclear weapon, even a small one, I don't see it helping anything. I see it just blowing that stuff up into the atmosphere and blowing it out into the ocean and making it much worse than it is already. I mean, that's all I can tell you. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you, Matt, very much. Let us talk with Terry on Astro Line number 2 out of Washington. How are you, Terry?
Hey, how you doing, John?
Doing all right.
I'm sitting here in Washington State, ready to be raided. But, you know, I'm not going to let this go. The guest you're going to have on later, it kind of reminds me of the Philip Marshall thing. Well, what do you think?
Well, I hope you're wrong.
Well, I do, too.
I really do. You know, that's the whole thing. I feel a little bit of... oh boy, here we go. That kind of feeling that you get sometimes when we talk about these things, but we're at that point where it's now or never. We either keep going down the path we've been going down for this long, and I think we all perceive what what that's going to get us, or we just pull down the screens and pull back the curtains and blow the smoke away and take a look. And we may not like what we see. And the more that the more that is revealed, the less we like it. So, yes, our awakening is that we have awakened to the fact that we have been shrouded in darkness for a long time. And I suspect Robert Plumley knows how to take care of himself. I'm sure he's skilled in tradecraft. And I can tell you that if he suffered any kind of blowback, I don't think that would look good for the ones who were causing the blowing back. So I don't know. I think it's all right. And anytime you start talking about things that is not bought and paid for and otherwise sanctioned by mainstream media with their imaginary credibility that millions of people continue to go along with, you know, you're taking a chance, but that's just how it is. You know, I ran the program too long last weekend to be able to finish the little comment that I generally make at the end of the show, but the payoff is the choices are ours to make. Everything is a choice. And somebody said, what were you talking about, the bluebirds and the strawberries? Well, what I was saying was because everything we can think of is possible on some level in this reality, many things are visited upon human beings. Some are quite harsh and some are quite pleasant. But they're simply, in my view, there are simply too many extras, from the bluebird on the tree limb to the strawberry that tastes really good to the sensation one feels when one beholds an awesome act of nature or of humanity. And the choices are ours to make, including what we believe. So I say, let her rip. It's now or never. Might as well just go ahead and put it all out there and see how people react to it. You see them, San Luis Obispo, Sky Chief Brian pointed out to me, is not a very large city. And for that many people to be willing to be full body scanned before they can enter a candy store, what does that tell you? It should tell you these people are voting. May they be blessed and maybe even enlightened. Let's come back with some more of your calls and get ready for Robert Plumley, former CIA officer, pilot, adventurer extraordinaire, and now revelator. On Coast to Coast AM. Yes, indeed. It's a pleasure to be in with you tonight. And, you know, we're in a situation here at this particular point in history where we can laugh or we can we can cry about it. So why do that? Let's just do what Warren Zevon admonished us to do, and that is just enjoy every sandwich, which actually is pretty good advice. And in the meantime, keep punching. Now, going back to what a caller said a while ago, say, you think there's going to be any blowback with Mr. Plumlee coming on the show? No, not really. Visibility is actually pretty good sometimes. It's a good defense. After all, if you're invisible, nobody knows, right? But going to his point, shocking treatment of U.S. nuclear whistleblowers. Now, get this. This is from back in August. New York Times, after Charles D. Varnador complained about safety at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, his bosses moved him to an office containing radioactive waste. When an industrial hygienist recommended that he either he or the waste be removed, he was put in a room contaminated with mercury. Visible mercury was in several places. His difficulties began in 1990 after he returned to work following colon cancer surgery, found that his replacement had shortcomings in handling lab samples, and he pointed this out to his superiors. He was given a storage room as an office. The room contained bags and drums of, yes, radioactive waste, as well as bags of asbestos and chemical waste. Quote, the only conclusion which can be drawn from this record is that they intentionally put him under stress with full knowledge that he was a cancer patient recovering from extensive surgery and lengthy chemotherapy. The judge, Theodore P. Von Brand, wrote in his decision. He sent the matter to the Labor Secretary, Robert B. Reich, who dismissed some of Mr. Varnador's charges on the grounds that they had been filed too late, and he dismissed others because he did not believe that they had been proved conclusively. So there you go. Sometimes you feel like watching a really long movie. It was directed by Orson Welles, you know. It's called The Trial. Anthony Perkins is in it. You know, those movies get kind of long. I'll tell you what, just settle in with a little popcorn and your favorite beverage there. Personally, I think a proper cup of tea, sweetened with a little milk in it, and popcorn is a delicious combination, but you might not. But anyway, get what suits you and watch The Trial. And that's what you're looking at. You go to the courts seeking justice, and you may or may not get it, because it's all just, you know, it's all just a game. It's all just, give me that pair of dice there. Let me just roll them and see what's up. All right, let's take a little pause. Let us take pause. And then come back with some more of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Stand by. You know, Sky Chief Brian mentioned something, and I'm paraphrasing him slightly, but the salient point is made. Sick people are easier to control than healthy people. And the paraphrasing part is they don't stick around long either. And he's a deli command running things. Actually, he has the whole show in his hand. He could pull the plug on it anytime he wants to, but he won't do that because he's Sky Chief, so he won't do that. But you know, the thing is that's a very good question. I asked the question many times, why is the world not rushing to do something about this? And every once in a while, somebody will pop up and go, oh, it's nothing. Forget about it. Somebody was on recently with Captain Nori and said, all we have to do is treat it with one thing or another. It's like, you can't treat China syndrome. China syndrome, in case you don't know, is when it burns through. This stuff is so hot. It's so hot. It burns through the dirt, and it just keeps going until it hits the water table. And at that point, all bets are kind of off. It's not a good scenario at all. West of the Wookiees, Jack in San Diego. What's up, Jack?
I've got a Fukushima question for you. So if you're in the market for a new car, say a Japanese car built in Japan, do you think it would be too paranoid to be worried about whether it's these products manufactured in Japan could be contaminated with radioactive particles? And is the federal government doing anything to test products coming into the United States from Japan?
I have no knowledge of any testing procedures being performed in that regard. I know that some of the some of the components, now this didn't happen here, but it happened overseas, and at this moment I can't remember what country it was, but some of the cars were just a little bit too hot. But here's the thing. Radiation is all over the place. We had Vince Mazur on the show a couple times, and he'll tell you that this it's a question of what kind of radiation is it, how long are you exposed to it, and how high is the level. And so it's a cumulative thing. However, there's a lot of stuff. The Canadians rejected a container this several months ago, and we heard it one time, and then that's the end of it. We didn't hear any more about it. A container full of just common household appliances were too hot to admit into the country, so the Canadians sent it back. And in fact, Mr. Mazur himself said that he bought a wire brush at a well-known hardware store. Just need a wire brush to scrub down some metal and try and make it pretty again. He tested it, and it spiked his meter a little bit. So it's not a bad idea to just, look, there's so much stuff going on. You know, that's why I put caravan2midnight.com together. You know, you worry about fluoride in your water, there's an app for that. You want to test for ionizing radiation, you got Mazur Instruments products there. You worried about the smart meters, you want to find out that we have measuring devices for to determine if the cell tower is going to get you or the smart meters. It's one thing if you've got a smart meter. It's another thing if you're across the street from 50 of them. And there are fabrics on there that are very effective shields for this and all of that. So go to caravan2midnight.com sometime and check it out. And if you have questions about radiations, like, look, would you just tell me the truth about stuff? Vince is real straightforward about this. He's a steady guy, and he doesn't like to sell anything on fear. He doesn't want to sell anything to anybody that they don't want or need. And or don't understand, or just, you know, he's just not that way. So if you go to MazurInstruments.com, it's M-A-Z-U-R, Instruments.com, he's got a bunch of information on there, and you can get smart very quickly on what you're looking at when you're dealing with ionizing radiation. Okay, and I'll just leave it at that. If you decide to get something at Vince's site, be sure and put John B. in the little promo box there, and you'll get a little not a compensation, just a measure, just a little token of appreciation in the form of an internationally usable AC adapter. But other than that, you're going to find it everywhere, even old glass at the antique store. But again, it's one thing if you've got one little piece around the house. That's probably not going to do anything ever. However, if you have a lot of little pieces around the house and you're in the house all the time, that can be a problem. But the bigger problem that we're facing is that, now get this. You remember the tsunami that hit Phuket over in Thailand some years ago? Remember all the animals just went, hey, something's up, and they all literally headed for the hills, and the people are looking at each other like, hey, all the animals are hauling that way. Maybe we should do it too, and it was just a disaster. A friend of mine who's a chef who still lives there and has for many years said that it was so awful nobody even talks about it anymore. They just need to put that behind them. Well, when you have the ore fish, the Japanese have always thought of the ore fish as being harbingers of earthquakes. These things are like, they grow to 50 feet long sometimes. These ore fish, O-A-R fish, are washing up on California beaches. And the radiation in the water is not dispersing. It's a column that goes. The radiation does not settle to the sea floor. It remains in a column from the surface of the water to the sea floor. And what happens is these fish, they swim through this. I think this bluefin tuna, I don't think I've got the number right, but it made three round trips between here and Japan because it was tagged in less than 400 days. So the thing, they swim through it, they eat something else that's been exposed to it, and then you catch it. So, you know, I don't want to dampen anybody's business. I'm just saying that eating fish out of the Pacific Ocean is probably going to become something you might not want to do in the not too distant future. We're supposed to get smacked with it pretty good. Long about March. Yeah, February and March, it's supposed to contact the Pacific Northwest and on up toward Alaska. And then later, probably pushing into summer around June, it's going to hit the West Coast. And this is going to happen. Now, how bad it is, I don't know. That's the problem. Nobody knows. So just make ready for what's to come, whatever it might be. Just do as well as you can, all you can, for as long as you can. Let's talk to Peter in New York on Astro Line number 4.
Actually, John, I'm just a little east of New York. Got a few news stories for you as you with your little indie media salt you were over the past few weeks. You have been a little off with some of the news stories and with some of your guests.
Oh, are you telling me I made a mistake and you witnessed it?
Well, not only did I witness it, I sent you some emails. I left you a few comments on your Facebook page.
Okay, go ahead. Run them down, man.
It's on your public Facebook page under Peter Kahn. You can't miss it.
Oh, yeah, anyway, yeah, yeah.
Stuff for you about the CIA and Fukushima, which you missed.
Well, come on, bring it.
All right, about Fukushima. I have property down in New York near Indian Point Nuclear Reactor. Now, a couple weeks ago, Naoto Kan, Prime Minister of Japan, during the Fukushima crisis, was down there. And he said that what's going on at Indian Point Nuclear Reactor is the same thing that's happening at Fukushima right before they had the big meltdown. Now, the one thing with Indian Point is that is smack right in the middle of where you have some of the wealthiest people in the world.
Well, is this thing supposed to be leaking? Peter, is this supposed to be leaking?
Not yet. Basically, that Indian Point has got so many safety flaws. All it's going to take is one little accident, and that thing's going to go.
Okay. Well, the reason that I ask you if it was leaking is because this the melting sea stars that are being observed in on the West Coast, some of this is being observed on the East Coast as well. I'm not really sure what's causing it, and I just thought, okay, maybe.
Well, look no further than Indian Point. Now,
that's strange.
As far as CIA goes,
yeah.
A few weeks ago, you probably remember the email conversations I had with you about Kinzer regarding Operation Ajax.
Yes.
Now, what happened? Now, last weekend was a very important anniversary. Now, you remember how basically I had on your, you can see the comments on your public Facebook page and on the email conversation. I had to give you hell about one of the big facts that people forget about Operation Ajax is that Iran's government requested American assistance. Now, one of the people that requested CIA and CIA assistance against Mossadegh, Malakia Soraya, 12 years ago last weekend, she died mysteriously in Paris, just as America had begun the invasion of Afghanistan. Now, that was one news story that got swept under the rug.
Oh, yeah, all the good ones do. Have you noticed?
Oh, they get noticed. I noticed, but they don't stay under the rug for long. As long as people remember.
Okay, and what else you got?
For one thing about Kinzer. One thing I had to give you hell about Kinzer. I mean, you probably would recall from a few weeks ago. I mean, I brought that little tidbit about the Watson Institute.
Yep.
Well, here's one thing you may not have noticed. You may have forgot. One reason why I had to give you that was because him and some other people have had people arrested just for showing up at the Watson Institute and also at Boston University. And essentially, you look at elitist places like that, but basically, if you say anything like, for instance, you talk about JFK, you try to say anything other than Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK, I'll have you arrested as someone who's crazy.
Arrested? You're using the word arrested.
I mean, in other words, yes, arrested. Now, these are people just showing up at public events, asking questions, where you have people in positions of authority and influence. Now, one reason why I said you were off about the Indian media assault is you go on Facebook or even some of the old social media networks like MySpace. You'd be surprised at some of the people in power and influence who do have a presence on these media sites and who do take the time out to talk to these people.
Mm-hmm. All right. Peter, listen, stay healthy and stay in touch. I appreciate it. Anytime I make a mistake, listen, I'm a guy who knows how to take a trimming, okay? If I make a mistake or leave something out, I expect you to bring it to my attention. Then I'll vet it. If it turns out you're right, I will give you accolades. If it turns out you're wrong, I may ream you over the email. Just kidding. Just kidding. Let's take another one. Let's go to Jay in Birmingham, Alabama. Jay, how are you? Jay.
You there?
Yeah, there you are.
Oh, hey. Welcome to the left-hand side of the ship, the pilot seat, my friend. Hey, John, what am I being arrested for? I don't know, but we'll make something up.
Yes.
This week, I was looking at an article in USA Today that I found at the library about people being pulled over in their cars for whatever. And then if you refuse a search, our wonderful police state, they call the dogs in. And then they get the dogs to alert on your car to arrest you for whatever. What am I being arrested for? We'll see. And then you never get due process of law, as you were alluding to the courts earlier. It's called churning, I believe is what it's called. And because of cash-strapped political subdivisions from the least of them to the greatest of them, they're doing this as a cash cow, like confiscating your car, and you never get it back. They make it so bureaucratically impossible to get it back. This was in USA Today, I believe last Wednesday, and I did take a picture of it, but I thought you might want to know about it if you did not already.
It seems to be becoming increasingly more corrupt in that way. I understand it used to be $10,000, now it's $8,000. If you have $8,000 in cash, the police can take it away from you, and it'll be Hades freezes over probably before you get it back.
Well, the thing about it is I've had stuff taken out of my car. I was carjacked by the police in 2010. The judge threw this out after 593 days. I do my own legal work. I'm trained as a paralegal. And I never got back over $1,000 worth of things that they took out of my car. I had my emergency bag with me, and they just conveniently, it's been destroyed. No, it hadn't. You stole it from me. But you do have the best broadcast voice of anybody who's at your level. And
thanks for that.
These days, if we don't all burn up from all the nuclear radiation. And one more thing before I beam on out of here. Yeah. Siberian ginseng has been shown to protect you from radiation. I don't know what the exposure needs to be, but you're right. Somebody does need to do something about China syndrome over there, is that if there is anything that can be done. Thank you, my friend. Godspeed to you.
All right, man. Take care. Well, let's see. We got about 1 minute. I'm going to chance it quick. Let's pull Elizabeth in from St. Paul. Wild card line number 3. Elizabeth, you got to make it quick. You only got a minute.
All right. If that Fukushima stuff is true, the Revelations chapter 8, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter.
Yep. Let's see. Revelation 16:3 says something about the oceans being poisoned. Well, the Zen master says, we'll see. Go grab yourself a proper cup of tea and maybe some biscuits. Not those kind of biscuits, the cookies, you know, the butter cookies. And some bonny Scottish ones would be good too. And we'll get ready for Robert Plumley. This should be quite something. I really don't know what to expect. So let's just expect the unexpected, or it may not find us. This is the Saturday night edition of Coast to Coast AM. Delighted to be in with you tonight. We shall return shortly.